I'm Jason Ball, and this is Friends with Friends, a podcast where we explore all 236 episodes of the TV show Friends, one episode at a time. And I am joined once again by my friends, Jackie and Vanessa.
Hi, I'm Jackie Rodriguez, and I am the ultimate Friends fan. I love Friends. It's an understatement, and I am Monica, but yes, I love Friends.
And I'm Vanessa Martinez, and I have never watched Friends in my life up until now while I've been at home during quarantine.
And I am old in the Friends. I like the Friends. I grew up in the 90s. I was 20-something in my 90s, so let's get started. Episode number 4, the one with George Stephanopoulos. It premiered on October 13th, 1994, to 19.7 million viewers. You guys know who George Stephanopoulos is from GMA, right?
Yes.
Good Morning America.
Yes, I knew him from GMA. I didn't know him as like Clinton's aide, as they discussed in the episode. Okay. So when I first watched this, I think it was early 2000s is when I was starting to binge, I was like, who is this guy?
All right, Jackie, give us a quick overview.
Yes, so Rachel gets a visit from her old friends and makes her realize she doesn't know what she wants to do in her life. The girls, Phoebe, Rachel, Monica, have a drunk slumber party while the guys go to a hockey game on the anniversary of Ross and Carol having sex. Ross gets hit with a puck and the girls accidentally get George Stephanopoulos pizza.
I thought this episode was very funny.
It was.
I thought it was very entertaining. You know, the sex conversation, somehow Joey always brings the conversation into a sex conversation. They're talking about being omnipotent and he thinks they're talking about impotent.
Yes, they start, and again, the series or this episode starting off with a random sex conversation that has nothing to do with moving the story along. It's just a random conversation. And I just like how Joey's like, he thinks impotent, and he goes, I would kill myself. Just laugh out loud moment.
And then Ross says, I'm omnipotent. Oh, I'm sorry. He thinks he says, I'm impotent.
He goes, you are? And it kind of showcases Joey's, he's kind of an airhead, you know, he's not all there sometimes, or all the time, actually. Yeah. And that's kind of shows that he's like, his friends are smarter than him, but he's such a sweetheart. So it's endearing.
Very good natured.
Yeah. But going back to like that kind of scene, you know, where they start talking about Ross's first time. So it shows, again, you see Ross's kind of innocence where he's just, it's so like heartbreaking for him to even think about that one time.
Mm-hmm. When they take him to the hockey game. Yeah.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that. I thought that definitely shows his innocence and his naivete, and that he's not a fully grown person at this point in his life.
Right? And also, you find out later on that he's only been with one person. Carol's the only one. And then at the end, Chandler and Joey support him and say, oh, going to a hockey game was the worst idea.
Yeah, but I mean, Joey, again, this is sweet, or Ross, I mean, this is sweetheart, you know, from the first time we see him, you know, all over Rachel, and then to now, just reminiscing on the very good times he had with Carol.
Shows his romantic side, because he is a romantic.
And yeah. I know you say he looks like the Blues Clues guy in that
outfit. Yes,
I love that outfit with the kind of hockey jersey and the, you know, the yellowish coat.
Yes. Well, yeah, the guys have hockey jerseys on, Chandler and Joey, and he has the striped shirt, the striped polo shirt. Yeah. And so I'm like, every time I see the episode, I think Blues Clues. That's
funny. This is the first episode that does not have I'm watching TV.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not watching anything in it. But it is an interesting device to separate the men from the women so they can go off and have these different conversations that they wouldn't have. You know, they've been having the kind of sex conversations very politely and innocently with euphemisms and innuendo in the mixed company. But this is the first time they, you know, really separate the two of them. And the boys go off and Ross talks about being, you know, with Carol for the first time and his first time. But then the girls talk all sorts of fun dish as in their slumber party.
Yeah, because the gender roles of you know what you would talk about with your guy friends and then what the girls would talk about with their girlfriends. So I like also, you know, going back to that, when when it's Rachel, who's very centered around Rachel because she gets her first paycheck, and she goes, FICA, who is FICA? Why is he in all my money?
And then, I think that's a hilarious line. I mean, it's true. I mean, when you it's very interesting when people get their paycheck and like, wait, what? I have to pay taxes?
You realize how much they take out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's because, like, you know, your first job, you're like all about it. And then all of a sudden you realize how much money you're not making in comparison. Right. It's a little sad. Yeah. But and also to notice, you know, in that scene also when she gets her first paycheck, your friends walk, Rachel's old friends walk in, you know, one is pregnant, one is engaged, one has a great career, and it makes Rachel kind of question her life decision and what she's done.
And they're dressed, you know, they're dressed up, you know, lots of jewelry, lots of expensive clothing, and they've got all their shopping bags. They've been on a shopping spree in the city. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it definitely, and then you see the other, you know, Rachel, Monica, and Phoebe make fun of them too.
Right? Yeah, yeah, all of us. Ah! I love that. It's true. Whenever you see other girls get excited about running into each other, and we see this in restaurants, everywhere we go, they get so excited. But then you become that girl when you see your friends. So it's like you're making fun of yourself. You know?
Totally.
And that whole, you know, when she gets her paycheck and then she sees her friends, that starts conversation of the, you know, having a slumber party and wondering what they're doing with their lives. Because Rachel has a meltdown.
Right. It's Rachel's reflection of, oh my goodness, did I do the right thing here? Did I do the right thing here? Or should I have just stayed with Barry and lived that life? Or do I live my new life?
Yeah.
And of course, Phoebe, in some weird way,
she turns it around.
Turns it around, right?
Yeah,
she does.
I mean, when have we not all had that conversation with our girlfriends? You know, there's alcohol involved, drinking, you know, and you're just reflecting, and it's a slumber party. And I love how Phoebe's also in a onesie during this whole scene during the slumber party. But I just, I mean, that's, I connected to that. You know, I've had that conversation with my girlfriends in my 20s. So I really like that aspect of the episode of just, of not knowing if you did the right thing or if you're going down the right path. You know, we all have that thought in our head.
Jackie, we were just talking about something similar to this last week on a phone call we had together.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I think it goes for everybody, guys or girls. You always kind of question your life no matter what age you're at, and you always have those friends you could go to. And this is kind of what it's showing.
Well, particularly in your 20s when you're, you know, trying to figure everything out and making that transition to your own independence. It is. Do you have a plan? And what does Phoebe say? I don't even have a plot.
I don't even have a plot. And that's like, and Rachel bums them out, like, because she's walking in and she's like, they're making tiki punch. And then she goes, okay. She grabs the whole blender. And then they have that conversation. Then she bums them out. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to bum you out. And that's when Phoebe says the line. I don't even have a plot.
Yeah. Speaking of that slumber party, you know, you see George Stephanopoulos, or they start talking about him. But was he really a sex symbol in the 90s?
It's so funny you asked that, because I was thinking about that too. And I actually like did a little research, because I remember, and I guess he kind of was. It's kind of hard to think about now, but you know, he was young and dashing and smart and part of that whole Clinton Gore team. So yeah, I guess he was. I mean, pretty George Clooney.
I want to know, because I tried Googling. I was like, has George ever spoken out about this episode? Because it's his name in the title. And then it also, like, they have that whole conversation about the career, but then it totally flips and they change the conversation and it makes it funny. And because this is what we also do during a slumber party, we check out, they talk about guys and George the guy. So I like how they had that deep conversation and then they made it funny.
Yes, of course. Has George ever talked about it?
No, I didn't find that he's ever talked about it. I would like to ask him if for any reason I run into him, I'm going to ask about the episode.
I kept thinking, because I don't think I'd ever seen this episode before. I kept thinking he was going to make just a quick cameo at the very end, too. He never comes back either, right?
No, he never comes back. I don't, he could have, he should have. That would have been hilarious, but he never shows up.
Because when the maybe. Door knocks, I actually thought it was him. When the maybe that was part of it too. Mm-hmm. When the pizza guy comes, I thought it was going to be him. And then when the pillow yeah. guy comes, I thought it was going to be him too.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I guess it was funny. That was a good device for the writers to develop the show and giving you these moments when you think this guy's going to show up and then he never does.
Yeah. And you bring up the pillow scene, and I was reading that pillow falling was never supposed to happen, but they left that in there.
That was an accident.
Yeah, it was an accident.
But played so well, the way she looked down at it. Well, probably because it wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, I guess yeah. she was like, oh, I'm just going to pretend like that didn't happen.
Yeah. And then I tried Googling, who is this guy with the pillow? Because before, when I first watched this, I didn't know who George Stephanopoulos was. And I thought George Stephanopoulos was the guy with the pillow at the end. But then I Googled, and then I'm like, I've always thought that. And then going into later in life, find out who George was. And then I'm like, wait, there's that episode. Go back, Google, it's not him. And I'm like, who is this guy with the pillow at the end? Because they make a big funny about it. Like, I still don't know. We know who the pizza guy is. We don't know who the guy with the pillow is.
That would have been really funny, though, had it been him. The pillow guy would have been George. And maybe that was their plan. It just didn't work out for whatever, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and because Chandler answers the door.
Right.
It's not any of the girls. So he doesn't know the kind of conversations they've had already. So it would have been
funny. Which would have been even funnier if it had been George Stephanopoulos.
Totally. It would have been so much funnier.
Yeah, I was trying to look up as well who that guy was. And somebody kept saying he was a Yeti.
Is he the Yeti in the later episodes that Rachel dates?
I don't know what that
is. I don't know.
The one with the Yeti is later in the series.
Oh, I don't know what that means. So I can't wait.
I don't know. So someone was saying that it might be a Yeti or the Yeti or whoever that is.
Oh, okay.
But okay. I don't know. I didn't find anything about him either.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Then we're going to, when we come back, we're going to talk favorite lines, goofs, in the continuity errors in the episode, and the pizza guy. All right. We'll be right back.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, and we are back talking Friends with Friends, the episode with George Stephanopoulos. All right, Vanessa, you noticed a couple of little goofs in the show, continuity errors.
Yes, so as, you know, I was doing my thing, watching Friends, I noticed in the opening scene when Phoebe was explaining her sleeping problem that Ross was paying attention and his legs, he crosses his legs. But then the scene cuts to a wide shot, and then we see him cross his legs again. Like literally probably like less than a few seconds later, so it's like a double cross on the same leg.
See, I didn't even notice that either. I'm not looking at the legs.
It's really weird. I guess I tend to, you know, not only look at the show, but I also look at like little goofs that are happening. Like I try to like spot errors in a way.
And there is goofs throughout the series. I mean, later on, there's even one where they take the shot with Monica Standen in another episode later on. So it does happen.
Well, I'm sure they do it right because they cut all the good pieces together, all the timing to make the comic timing. The comic timing is probably more important than, you know, all that, the continuity for a sitcom, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I went to the Friendsgiving Warner Brothers tour last November, they would talk about how long it took them to film these episodes because they would always joke around with each other, always laugh. It took them twice as long because it was just fun times between all of them. And that kind of shows also like how good of friends they really were in real life as actors.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure putting these episodes together, you know, the editor probably is like, oh, you know, it's okay. We'll take that little lake crossing, you know, because of the comedic timing and how many times they took that scene.
That's funny. So I, you know, the other kind of guest cameo appearance was the pizza guy, the pizza delivery guy, who's played by Sean Whalen. And he was in the very first Got Milk commercial. Remember those commercials, Got Milk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it, I did not know this. This is way tangential, but the Got Milk commercial, that commercial was directed by Michael Bay, who was a big director for Armageddon, Pearl Harbor, and the Transformer movies. So it's interesting that, you know, we see the success of all these people, you know, kind of connected to friends in some weird way.
Yeah. And do we know where the Got Milk guy is now?
Nowhere to be found, I guess. I don't think he's retiring on residuals from Friends or the Got Milk commercials.
Maybe he's gained like 10 cents for his appearance. You know, like you see people like in the industry with their little residual checks, and I post it, and they're like, I got 10 cents from like 20 years ago. I think it's funny. Also, in this episode, too, the apartment numbers are number 4 and 5, and I'm watching to see when they're going to change those to 20, because Monica's apartment number is 20. So they're still 4 and 5, Chandler and Joey and Monica and Rachel's apartment.
Why did they change them?
I don't know. I would have to look that up. I don't know why they changed them. Maybe.
Oh, the other thing I actually noticed in the last episode that we didn't talk about, there are like beams.
Mm-hmm.
In Monica's apartment.
Yes, and they actually use that as a funny in a later episode where Monica hits Ben's head and it's like Monica bang. But disappear. That's not till a later episode when Monica is babysitting Ben, Ross's kid, and then she hits and she accidentally knocks Ben's head into one of those beams.
They aren't there the whole time, right?
Nope, not until and they disappear, and I will have to watch when they disappear. They disappear, I want to say, like not till like 5 or 6 or later on. They just, the beams disappear.
That's interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, I like looking at what they have, what Monica has kind of in her kitchen cabinets, because it's open. Mm-hmm. So I like seeing the kind of like canned goods she has, or like what kind of dishes she has. So I always take a peek every time they show the apartment in the episode.
And it does change too, like real life, right? You have different supplies in your pantry and
things.
Yeah.
I've noticed that.
I like that attention to detail.
Yeah. And when I went to the Friendsgiving Warner Brothers tour, they had a display of the table, and it was the real table with the real chairs, and it was cool to like see that they're still good, like those chairs still exist, they're still in storage in Warner Brothers, and I touched one, I was like, oh my gosh, how cool. And they found that, and they told us about that table setting in the apartment, that they just found stuff in storage on the Warner Brothers lot. Like they didn't like purposely like design and look for it. They just found stuff and put it in apartments. So
like a 20-something's apartment.
Yeah, exactly. You just kind of find what you
get it where you can, and you pick up a chair on the street and clean it, and use it or whatever.
Totally. Right? I think my dining room set at a circle table with white chairs. I think my mom got it at a yard sale. We just cleaned it up and used it.
That's so funny. Yeah, I'm using my mom's dining table right now.
There you go.
It's good, though. I love that because it has a story and has a, you know, you didn't just go pick it out at a, you know, a shop and buy it. So that's cool.
It's true, yeah. And I mean, we've been talking about getting a new one, but at the same time, it's pulling my heartstrings saying, no, this was my mom's. I remember sitting here when I lived here, when I lived at my parents' house.
That's nice.
For sure. All right, favorite lines. There's a lot in this episode.
Yes. So mine goes back to what I connected most with is the slumber party when they talk about their life. And Monica goes to Phoebe, goes, Phoebe, do you even have a plan? And she goes, I don't even have a plan.
She doesn't have them close to a plan.
No. My favorite line comes from Rachel. I feel like lately they've been coming a lot from Rachel, but it kind of ties it back to Rachel running into her friends. And at the very end, Rachel has a phone call with the bank, the credit card company. Mm-hmm. And they're asking her, you know, is she okay? Like, why aren't you using your card kind of thing? And she tells them, I'm fine. And it's just so good because it shows the confidence that she has in her decision and that she's ready to move on from, you know, living whatever life she was supposed to live and do her own thing.
But I love the next line is, you know, that I've got magic beans. And when she looks at her friends playing Twister, which is funny because it's a child's game, but these are adults that are playing it. So it shows that kind of era of your 20s when you're kind of in between. You know, you're still doing childlike things or, you know, kid things, but you're still an adult and you have a job and all that. But I love that she looks at them and goes, I've got magic beans, which is a reference back earlier to the episode where Phoebe talks about Jack and the Beanstalk and the magic beans, right?
Yeah. And how Rachel goes, Jack gave up a cow. I gave up an orthodontist.
But Jack got magic beans.
Yeah. And I think that's a really sweet moment as well, because you kind of see her, like you said, Vanessa, like her confidence is growing and you kind of just see that she's going to be okay.
Yeah. The other line I still love from this episode is, who's FICA and why has he got all my money? Why is he getting all my money?
True. Even to this day, I still think that.
Every time you see it on your check, right? You think,
yes.
You think you're making that. And then you see all the deductions and you're like, wait a minute.
But this is, I've got magic beans.
I know. Perfect ending line. I feel they all kind of have that ending line that just hooks you in, you know, the end line that you all can relate to and gives you more to look forward to in the next episode.
For sure. All right. Speaking of next episodes, our next episode of Friends with Friends, Ross and Rachel's first kiss.
Yes.
Lots to talk about there.
Yes. Their first kiss, but like the first kiss, but not like the main kiss, but it was their first kiss.
The first kiss. All right. So thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. If you like this episode, please subscribe, give us 5-star ratings, and leave nice comments.
Yay.
Thanks, everybody.